but develop them in every other kind of ministry. You need to encourage them. You know, the younger ones do not know what their gifts are. And they are timid. And the older ones should encourage them. Give them opportunity. And give them some advice, helping them. You know, sometimes encourage them. And if you find that they are going the wrong direction, then discourage them and help them to come to the right direction, because the Lord may not want them to be in this ministry of God's Word. So, not only the elders, but those who are more spiritual, brothers and sisters, do need to have a care over these younger ones. The question is, on Sunday, if you let someone who has never spoken, say, try him 5 minutes, and there are so many brothers and sisters, or maybe even unbelievers there, will that be a real problem there? Of course it will be a real problem. So, when do you try these, let them train? You let them train in small groups. When you are in a small group fellowship or in a small group Bible study, you know, that is the time when you allow them to express themselves. And after a certain time they begin to develop, then maybe they are able to speak more. So, that's the way it is. All right. We come to women ministry. There are really many questions on this, but simply speaking, it is that what is woman's place in the church? Thus, do women have ministries in the church? I remember one day a sister got so angry, unhappy. He said, "We sisters doing nothing in the church but serving in the kitchen." That's not true. God created man and woman. They are different. They have one life, and yet they are different. Why? Because God wants them to cooperate. Each must play his or her part. This is the divine order. God set up a divine order in man. That is man and woman. Why? Because the design of God is through the cooperation of man and woman, God's work, God's purpose, can be done, can be fulfilled. So, dear brothers and sisters, today in this world, you find we reject that divine order. This is one sign of the end of the age. But God has a divine order. This divine order is not kept in the world. Not even kept in homes. But in those whom he has redeemed, he expected order to be followed. He expects that order to be followed in homes. He expects that order to be followed in church. This doesn't mean that the woman is lower than the man. The sisters are lower than the brothers. Not at all. Because when God shows us the divine order, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man. Man is the head of woman. It begins with God is the head of Christ. Now, brothers and sisters in the Godhead, the Father and the Son are one. They are one in substance, one in essence, one in everything. Equal. But when the Son, for the sake of God's work to be done, there is a work to be done, and the Father and the Son agree, the Father will take the place of the head, and the Son will take the place of the body. Do you think it is difficult for it is easy for the Father to take the place of the head? Not at all. Because in taking the place of the head, he has to sacrifice his own son. For all the work to be done, it is agreed between the Father and the Son. The Father will take the place of the head. And the Son volunteered to take the place of the body. So he came into this world to become Christ, the Saint One, the Anointed One. So here you find when our Lord Jesus was on earth, he always takes the place of the body. Never usurp the place of the head. You read the gospel called the John, he said, I cannot do anything by myself. I do it because I saw my Father doing it. I cannot even say anything of my own. I say it because I've heard my Father say it. It is not me, it is my Father who is doing the work. You find how throughout his life he denied himself. That is, he denied his headship. His own headship. He refused to be his own head. He accepts his Father as the head. Not my will, but thy will be done. To the point of drinking that bitter cup and crucified on the cross. That's the example. That is the cooperation. That is how the work of redemption is done. That is how God's purpose of securing a bride for his Son is done. Brothers and sisters, in that same divine order, Christ is the head of man. And the word man means man and woman. Every man believer and every woman believer, we take Christ as our head. We are his body. That is to say, we do his will. But the will is his. He is the one who wills, not we. We are the one who obeys. and do it. Is that true with you? Why do we need to present our bodies a living sacrifice? Because when you present your bodies a living sacrifice, you acknowledge Christ as your head. Now I am a body here, belong to you. May your will be done. The headship of Christ. Unless you see God is the head of Christ and Christ is your head, you will never be able to accept man as the head of the woman. Man and woman are equal, sharing the same life. But God, for a work to be done, make them differently, that they may each fulfill their part. But one alone cannot do it. Two together will do it. In the church, this divine order has to be recovered. Men in the church represent Christ. Women in the church represents the church. And that is the reason why you find government, elders, are chosen from men and not from women. You know, today in this modern world, we want to reverse it. We will not accept divine order. We want to appoint women elders. Why not? Women can be queen, ruling an empire. Women can be prime minister. Why not woman elder? Well, if you want to make the church the world, do it. But if you want that divine order, that brothers and sisters, in government, God does not seem to give woman government. It is the work of man. But in ministries, full of ministries, the question asked is, many sisters have greater measure of Christ than brothers. So, how about? You say elders depend upon spirituality, then women, sisters, are more spiritual than brothers. Thank God for that. And that's true. But brothers and sisters, there is the divine order there. If a sister is really spiritual, she will know her place in the church inwardly. If a sister needs to be told what her place in the church is, something is wrong. You know, in 1 Corinthians 14, when Paul said, I let not the woman teach in the assemblies. And he said, you should know it. If you don't know, that's what it is. Thank God. The ministries of the sisters are most necessary and essential. As a matter of fact, you find everywhere. Probably the brothers may give the order, but the sister work is mainly done by the sisters. Everywhere is the same thing. The brothers take the leading part, but the sisters take the supporting part. It is the supporting part that really does most of the work. What will the church be if there are no sisters? Dear brothers and sisters, God has given the sisters ministries of many kinds. Why must you want what God has not given you? Let me be more specific. You know, in 4:30. Sorry. In 1 Timothy, chapter 3, you find that not only the elders, the qualifications of the elders are given, but they're also given some scripture deacons or ministers, and there are women there. In other words, there are deaconesses there. Now, deacons and deaconesses are serving the church in the many affairs of the church. They are not the governing body, but they are actually that body that do all the various works in the church, like visiting the sick, taking supplies to the needy, look after people, and serve the table, and do all these things in the church. You know, these are deacons' work. And you have deacons and deaconesses. So in other words, you'll find that there are nonetheless works you can do in the church as deaconesses. And of course, as a sister, as a member of the body of Christ, according to the gift that God has given you, there is a functioning in the house of God that you can function. You know. But I think the problem today is, can a woman teach? I think that is the real problem. Just like can a woman govern in the church? Thank God he does give women teaching ministry, prophetic ministry. You know, the daughters of Philip the Evangelist, they are prophetess. No doubt, Priscilla has teaching ministry. You know, she is the one that taught Apollos, that great teacher. Thank God in church history we find many women who are gifted with teaching. And we receive much help from these women. think of Brother Washmani. How she was helped greatly by Miss Farber. In 1 Corinthians 11, when a woman praying or prophesying, let her head be covered. So that shows that a woman do pray, a woman do prophesy. And yet in 1 Corinthians 14 it said, let the woman be silent, as in all the assemblies. Is there a contradiction? In 1 Timothy chapter 2, I think, it says, I do not allow a woman to teach, nor to have authority over men. Because it is Eve who is deceived, not Adam. Is there a contradiction there? God gives women gifts of teaching. And yet here you say, let a woman be silent. Then why does God give her teaching ministry, teaching gift? Well, to really understand this problem, I have to go around a little bit. You know, the letter, first letter of Corinthians, is a corrective letter. In other words, it is written to correct certain things. Paul was in Corinth for a year and a half, meeting with these brothers and sisters. He left them. And then after several years, he heard something happened in the church in Corinth. And they also wrote him and asked him a number of questions. And then some people from Corinth came to him and told him about their problem. And because of this, Paul wrote this letter called 1 Corinthians. So 1 Corinthians is a corrective letter. That is the nature of that letter. You know, you have to understand. Now, the Corinthian believers, they have been meeting together for several years already. Paul never told them how to meet. Paul never told them who can speak, who cannot speak. Never. You know, this is the way that God always does. When God's people first began to come together, He does not lay down certain rules and regulations, straitjacket us, and say, now, do this, not to do that. Brothers and sisters, if you do that, you stifle life. When life begins, you give life freedom. You do not try to bound it with rules and regulations. You don't do that. Let life grow. So the Bible there never tells us how to meet. Who is to speak and who not to speak in the beginning. Just come together. Leave it with the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, do you dare to do that? If you believe in the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, if we hold fast ahead, brothers and sisters, that is what it should be. And here you'll find these people meet together under the headship of Christ. The Holy Spirit is in their midst. And they meet. But unfortunately, many of them remain babes. They do not grow up. And because of that, after several years, they are still doing babyish things. And in doing these babyish things, they really, in a sense, hinder the growth of the church, bringing chaos to the church. And that's where order, regulations come in. As a matter of fact, those that are spiritual, they should sense that order within them. Only those who are carnal, they do not sense order. Because order in the scripture is not something put on. It is the order according to life. When your life grows, you drop these babies. Who told you that? Nobody tell you. You drop them. Because life tells you this is out of order. If you still cry out in midnight for milk, and you're already a teenager, it's out of order. Brothers and sisters, order is life. But some people do not follow life. They remain in the flesh. And that's the reason why. Instruction. You know, instruction comes in afterwards, not before. Not before life. After life, and life begins to grow, then you discipline life. To make it grow better. You know, that's a scriptural principle. You do not purge the vine unless that branch bears fruit. And you purge it that it may bear more fruit. Much fruit. That's First Corinthians. So evidently, in the beginning, both the brothers and sisters talk in the meeting. Both the brothers and sisters, they teach in a meeting. And evidently, there are some sisters who are very gifted, so they teach and teach and teach until the brothers become very timid and they draw back and draw back and draw back. That's what happened. So the apostles say, now it is time. Does the word of God come to you alone? You know, you read 1 Corinthians 14. Why should the woman be silent in the meetings of the church? Does the word of God come to you alone? Now the word of God has come to the brothers. Let them have the visible part. You do the invisible part. This silent is concerning teaching. In the assembly. When brothers and sisters are together, it is the time when the divine order should be manifested. So that's the reason why Paul said, let the woman be silent. Let the man teach. But that doesn't mean a sister cannot give a testimony. but don't try to use the testimony to teach. That doesn't mean a sister cannot pray. But don't use your prayer to teach people. In Timothy, he says, I do not allow a woman to teach, nor to have authority over men. So, this is one sentence. The teaching there has something to do with authority. You know, teaching is of two different kinds. One kind of teaching is you take what you have been taught and you teach. The other kind of teaching is God gives you the discernment and the understanding to decide on doctrine, on teaching. And that is with authority. So you find for a sister to teach is okay. As long as she does not try to define doctrines. Because that is with authority. God does not give them to women. Many heresies in this world come from women teaching, laying down doctrines. Why? Because women are made more of the heart. They are warm. That's the reason why they can easily be deceived. Men are cold. Therefore, it seems to be constitutionally made better to decide on doctrine. So, brothers and sisters, the woman can teach. With only a little limitation, that's all. And furthermore, I'm treading on thin ice now. I believe a woman can even teach when brothers and sisters are all there. Let me tell you a story. I have lots of stories. Once when I was in Hong Kong, there was a kind of what they call it, interdenominational retreat, you know. And a sister was teaching there, a famous sister. I knew of her. I went to hear her. I was in the audience. And before he started, she said she received a letter challenging her, how dare you teach? And it was written by Stephen Kong. I never wrote that letter. If I wrote that letter, I wouldn't be there. Unfortunately, somebody used my name and wrote that letter. another story. In Shanghai, we have some sisters who are so gifted. And they knew the Lord. I received much help from them. And we have sisters meeting. You know, they will not teach the brothers. Before they were famous evangelists and traveling around and they teach people and so forth. But later on they feel their place is not to do such things. So they refuse to teach the brothers anymore. But they teach the sisters. So we have the sisters meeting. And these sisters were teaching there. You know what? Behind the wooden wall, on the stairway, we brothers were all sitting there. So we feel very uncomfortable about it. Why is it that we cannot receive the benefit? Why should we be bound? If this is the word of God, we have to obey it. No matter what, we obey it. But do we misinterpret it? Misunderstand it? So as we search and search before the Lord, we haven't made it public yet, but we come to a conclusion. We feel that actually there are two kinds of meetings in the scripture. One we call church meetings, and the other we call ministry meetings. Church meeting is where brothers and sisters come together as the church. There is a mutuality there. And it is in the church meeting, because the brothers represent Christ and the sisters represent the church. Therefore, let the brothers take the prominent part and let the sisters play the supporting part to keep that order. But in ministry meeting, it's different. Ministry meeting is the exercising of the gift. It is non-mutuality. It is one way. The one minister to the others. So finally we come to the conclusion. If the Lord give a sister the gift of teaching, why not let that sister teach in a ministry meeting? In other words, we call a meeting to hear the word of God. And we ask the sister to teach us. The only thing we do is, we always ask a brother to chair the meeting. Why? In case anything should happen, authority has to be exercised, then that brother will exercise that authority. I wonder if this will solve our problem. No, I just leave it with you. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Thou art the head of the church. We are Thy body. We thank Thee that it is our privilege and joy not to will, but to obey. Lord, do show us more of Thy headship. Do enable us to be thy body. Do pray that thy divine order will be recovered in the church, so that thy work may be done. Pray that the brothers and sisters will not be against each other, but will be working together for the building up of the body in love. We do want thee to have thy bride.